Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to H-Town. Let's get their work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. 1-2 pitch. Towards the middle, knocked down by Kessinger, ball game over.
Great what a play!
Kessinger hadn't played since mid-July, and he knocks one down and makes an incredible play to win a game. Profar yelling at the umpires. He told them he wasn't hit by that pitch. This is one of the craziest endings you'll ever see.
Unbelievable. Bases loaded. A guy who just came up made an unbelievable play. Greg Kessinger with the backhand and the flip. And the Astros, with every right to complain, have actually won this game against this umpiring crew and this great team in the San Diego Padres.
As soon as Profar was retired, he got up and started screaming at the umpires that he wasn't hit by a pitch. I've never seen anything like
both
that.
Both teams very unhappy with how this game was officiated.
Okay, let's... okay. Welcome
there's a lot to unpack here,
yeah,
Sean.
Yeah, thank you, Seth.
A lot to unpack.
There's a lot to...
I'm guessing the majority of our listeners that are up at this hour did not watch this Astros game. My goodness.
No, and I don't know, full warning, please don't go anywhere, but just full warning, I don't know, I'll speak for myself, I don't know that I'm the best filter through which to convey what happened in this game. If you listen to that highlight bumping, and welcome in everybody, by the way, on a Wednesday, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, if you're listening to that, oh boy, the replay's about to start on the TV here in studio. Okay, good. Of the game.
You might have to turn the monitor off. There's so much weirdness in this
game. Yeah, yeah. So
Astros win.
Astros win. Hey, let's get that out of the way. Astros win 4-3. Seattle lose. Hey, Seth, have you heard the good news?
What?
Astros win. Mariners lose. Guardians lose. So the rear view gets a little further back. The windshield, the view gets a little closer. They're only, I believe, what, 4.5 back now of the Guardians for the number 2 seed. They're 5 games up on the Mariners with 11 to go. This is good stuff, man. The Astros win last night. And yes, if you listen to that highlight bumping in, the play-by-play, credit to Todd Callis and Jeff Blum, the play-by-play of the final play of the game, if you're going, okay, why was Greg Kessinger in at second base? Is Altuve hurt again? He's not. His toe might hurt. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
If you're wondering why the Astros are going after the umps, and then they say, and Profar going after the umps as well, if you're like, how did Profar wind up on the Astros? No. The umpires were awful for both teams last night. It was brutal. And we'll get into all the details, but man, what a wild night of Astros baseball, dude. Crazy.
So it begins with horrible, horrible, horrible home plate umpiring.
Right.
To the point where I'm wondering, Manny Machado, a baseball player that I couldn't dislike anymore, is having just a brutally unfair at-bat in the sixth inning. I think this is where the real weirdness started,
yes,
right, Sean?
Yes.
Brutal, some brutal strike calls against him, to the point where Manny Machado gets angry enough to go ahead and crank out a home run against
Hunter
Brown.
Game-tying home run. Yeah, like the umpire angered Manny Machado. Yeah.
He stops between second and third place to acknowledge the left field stands crowd. Yeah. It angering me even further. Yeah. And so that was where a lot of the real weirdness started.
That started... There was an issue with Josh Hader and his timeout at one point.
Yeah, Josh Hader comes up, gets immediately charged with a pitch clock violation after he'd called, asked for a time, because at that point, I'm guessing Brendan Miller, the home plate umpire, had had three shots of Jaeger between those two innings, so he is getting steadily worse.
It took, I guess it took 10 minutes literally to hash that out, and Hader's like, hey man, my adrenaline's kind of running here. Can we get going? Can we figure this whole
my
thing out?
My body clock is still on central time,
right,
jerks.
Right. So there was that. The big one was this. Jose Altuve in the ninth inning with a runner on third, I believe. Look, I was fading in and out of sleep watching this game. Sleep that was induced by half a gummy that I had before I went to bed. So this was
Dude, this was...
Now, you're going to get a good version of me today, Seth. Don't worry.
Okay.
This was, but can you imagine, like, that state of mind fading in and out watching the latter portion of this game last night?
Yeah, trying to figure out what reality
actually
is.
You've done it before. You wake up on the couch, like every other inning, and you're like, what is going on here?
This is, what even dimension is this?
Yeah.
This is, okay.
So I'm waking up.
Time is running forward and back.
So imagine waking up to this.
Hits Altuve's foot. They're going to say fair ball. Brendan Miller is going to say that ball didn't hit Altuve, and that's going to be the final out of the inning. Brendan Miller is not ingratiating himself to Astros players, coaches, or manager.
You've got to ask for help.
You got to check with other umpires to see if it did hit Altuve.
Altuve needs to be pulled out of the situation. They need to keep him in this game.
Altuve showing
he
where it hit
his
foot, and now he's ejected.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
You're right, though. They should have got Altuve out of there. He's been ejected. We're going to have a tie game heading to the bottom of the ninth. Altuve will limp off the field. This game is crazy.
So that was the final out of the top of the ninth inning, fouled off of Altuve's foot, and they missed it. They missed it.
I don't look, and again, like, this is just real, like, in that moment, I don't think it really conveys the weirdness of the situation. I think Callis and Blum were, I think, trying to figure everything out, maybe watching the replay. Altuve took his shoe and sock off, and he was like a little Nikita Khrushchev out there, just protesting and showing the ump his foot. This is where he touched me, and then he gets ejected. Everything was weird and bizarre in San Diego last night.
It was crazy.
And so he gets ejected. But then Profar's up, and
in the bottom of the 10th, right? He was
bottom
up.
Of the 10th.
Yeah.
Profar's up. Profar doesn't get hit by a pitch, but Brendan Miller, the ump, says, go ahead and walk to first. You were hit by that pitch.
Yeah.
Profar says, well, no, I was not hit by that pitch. The video replay clearly shows there was nowhere near hitting Profar.
Right. And just to be clear, so people were wondering, okay, why is a batter protesting getting hit by a pitch? Because he wants to bat. There's a runner on second. It's the 10th inning. He wants to swing the bat. In that situation.
Yeah, it's the same. It'd be like if they had intentionally walked him and he didn't want to.
Right.
Like in this instance, but you can't review baseball and its idiocy has all of these things which are so easy to review. You can't review that pit. You can't review that. So he goes off the first. This was just an atrocity. Yeah. Man, I'm almost still angry about it, even though the Astros won.
Well, the Astros were angry about it. This is San Diego radio, I believe. This is after the game. Here's San Diego radio observing what's going on. This is after a win by the Astros. Take a listen to this.
Mike Schilt is on his way out. And there is a little bit of a holdup here.
Well, we got a near fight down between the umpires as they're trying to leave the field, and they leave in the same place where the Astros are, and the Astro players were getting all over home plate umpire Brendan Miller, and the other umpires had to get in between to try to make sure that there wasn't any more physical interaction. Now the umpires are leaving the field.
That's how bad the umpiring was last night in the game.
Yeah.
The Astros apparently got into some sort of dust-up with the umps in a game that they won 4-3. Like, that's how bad it was.
I don't think there's a single person in America, other than the Major League Baseball Umpires Union, that would have been upset if Espada had just gone ahead and knocked
hauled
out
off
every single umpire out there.
At least Miller.
Not to where he's got brain damage or anything, but maybe choke him out or something.
Yeah.
Just something to teach him a lesson. Something to... something to just inject some sanity.
People are into the situation. People are pointing out they did review. You can review hit by pitch. For whatever reason, you can't review the Altuve play, but you can review hit by pitch. They reviewed it and the call stood.
Okay. All right, man. That's how confused I am right now. Because the Astros had that situation last week that was the hit by pitch that wasn't hit by pitch or vice versa, but you can't overturn it.
Don't adjudicate the rules. Just get angry about it. That's what people want. People want you angry. They don't need Dean Blandino, Seth. They need angry Seth this morning.
It's unbelievable how weird all of that was.
Yeah,
and
try doing it on half a gummy.
Yeah. All right. Well, this it's a you know the kids, Sean.
Halibo gummy. Yeah.
Okay.
6:09. They're still in bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
No, it was a really weird night, but also a very good night for the Astros time is running out on the end of this season, obviously, and I'm not too worried or like concerned or trying to fixate on the wild card race or anything.
Yeah.
But it does, in looking at the wild card standings, it is really remarkable in which this team has so many things about it that don't feel like the all-time great Astros team.
Right.
But, I mean, if they had just been normally bad in those first few weeks of the season... You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if they had just been sub 500, and because it's not like it was just
They were sub 500.
I know, no, but if they had been just sub
around 500,
a couple games below 500.
They were very
sub. And usually you can say this about any team because they all go through bad stretches no matter how good they are, but that was just such an historically bad stretch by so many really good players, proven good players.
Yeah.
And that was before. You had a roster full of minor leaguers out there on it at any given time.
Yeah.
That it's been, I think you really have to acknowledge just by virtue of being where they are in the wild card right now, just how impressive they've been over the duration of the season.
No, you can pick any date from like late May on, and they've got the best record or close to it in baseball. Like that's why at the end of the day, they might have to play a wild card round, and that sucks. And you're right. That's where they really screwed themselves is they didn't screw themselves in the division. They're going to win the division, I think, comfortably. Where they screwed themselves was against the Guardians and the Yankees and the Orioles early in the season. Like the Mariners are not a good baseball team. Like they're going to win the division by 6 or 7 games, but it's in trying to get that bye in the first round where they really kind of did themselves in. So last night was crazy. Go die umps on the text page. See, that's what they want. They want go die umps. That's the Seth they're looking for. Seth.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, it's hard for me to do it. It needs to be organic. I should have thought it during the... It'll come up later again at some point.
It will.
We'll probably talk about that. We should talk about this game at least once an hour just because of the weirdness of it and how few people actually watch it live when it's on the West Coast.
Yeah. No, and I listened to like a couple national outlets on the way in. They were both talking about the Altuve thing. So, yeah, we'll get to that, and you can see why Profar wanted to bat. Like Profar's been crushing the Astros.
How many ejections is this for Altuve now this year?
It's a couple recently, right?
I think it's his third. Yeah, I mean he's had
There was the one in that game where he was dog cussing, walking back out to second base, and he ended up getting ejected from that game. I remember. So
I like spicy Altuve late in the season. As he's getting older, he's not holding back anymore, you know? Yeah. So what happens is you get older sometimes. By baseball standards, he's like the real-world equivalent of maybe 55 years old.
Yeah.
So he's getting to be middle-aged, and he's like, that's it. I've seen enough of this, and I gotta speak up.
Get off my lawn, Brennan Miller.
Yeah.
all right, we're off and running on a Wednesday. The Astros win last night. They pick up a game on the Mariners, but it was a crazy, crazy night out in San Diego. Up next, let's start looking ahead to we'll start looking ahead to Minnesota at the top of the hour. There was a video yesterday and last night of CJ Stroud and Caleb Williams on the field that everybody was critiquing and went viral on this interaction. We got the audio of it. We'll see if what everybody's worked up about is real. I'll bounce that off of Seth. Stay tuned for that. That's coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We're weighing in on the text page. They like Spicy Altuve showing up again, so that's good.
Oh. Yeah. Altuve's just, I mean, he's had enough this year. There's no time to be the nice little gentle kid that everybody, you know, just loves, and he was unfairly prosecuted and persecuted during the being better than everybody else scandal, and he's had enough. It's all boiling over. It's with it's outbursts like this from Altuve that can basically just light a fire under a team like the Astros, who win last night after being... I honestly can't act like the Astros were the victims of the bad umpiring. It was just both sides were just taking one on the chin from the home plate umpire.
Yeah, it's offensive as a baseball fan and a baseball community that Brendan Miller would be allowed to umpire that game. That's all.
Not to mention the MLB replay booth back in New York. I mean, baseball's just, there's so much idiocy about stuff that should be simple and plain.
Yep.
A ball is 4 inches away from actually hitting a batter. And you can't overturn that?
Right.
I mean, what the hell?
Right. Yeah, remember that happened with Bregman last week, and Espada ended up getting ejected over that, you know, the replay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to, I couldn't recall which atrocity. There's so many atrocities.
They were saying it hit his bat. They were saying it was a foul ball, and the thing missed his bat by 3 inches. So, and it hit him. That was last week. This week's atrocity was last night. Fortunately, the Astros navigate those rough waters. 4-3, the final score in 10 innings. So they win an extra inning game as well last night. 5-game lead on the Mariners, who lost. We'll get into that more in headlines. We're going to start digging into Minnesota and the Texans as well at the top of the hour, but still some leftovers from the weekend and from that game. Video that was circulating yesterday, numerous outlets having the same take on it as well. I'm going to play the audio first, and then Seth, see if via the audio you can discern what exactly the issue is that people have with this, okay? Yeah. So here is, this is C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams meeting at midfield after the game was over, a 19-13 Texans win on Sunday Night Football.
Good job out there, bro.
Yeah.
Hey,
keep going.
Stop taking those hits. Learn from those mistakes. And everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yep.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
All right, so 15 seconds of dapping each other up and CJ dishing out some advice to the youngster.
good on you too, Sean, because I when I had listened to this, it was kind of in a noisy environment, and I was thinking that I had the subtitles and everything. I didn't send it because I didn't think the audio was that good, but that audio was just fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're telling me I am clueless about whether, like, whatever people are reading into this video or what have you.
Okay.
I'm guessing it could be one of two things, depending on who and where you are. I'm guessing that people are pointing out that Caleb Williams looked like he had no interest in really listening to CJ's advice and was just trying to get the hell out of there.
That would be correct.
Okay, good.
Yes, yes.
The only other thing I thought was, all right, are people going to act... I thought some people might look at it and think, like, who the hell CJ think he is? Like, he's a made man or something, and he's sitting there doling out advice to a guy who's basically his contemporary.
That's a really good point. Caleb Williams might be older than CJ Stroud, for all I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, CJ's a young guy. CJ turns 23 in October. So CJ's a young guy, wise beyond his years, to be sure. That's interesting. I didn't see any of that, but probably because my timeline is maybe... programmed to not have like a ton of negative CJ stuff on it, just based
on you're heavily Houston centric.
I think it would stand to reason.
Sean Pendergast never shuts up about Houston sports bias. So my thought was, man, because Caleb Williams doesn't have great PR ahead of him, there's a lot of people that question just about who he is and how he operates, all of that. I came out of that game thinking, all right, the kid's tough as hell, but he's got to be smarter about how much he displays that toughness. In the game, he did a good job of sliding at times, you know, to the point where Collinsworth had to annoyingly gush about it. But he also took that hit like that Alshire hit, which was a clean and legal hit that didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
He's got to understand. That whole game was, I feel like, Caleb Williams realizing that he's not in the Pac-12 anymore. He's as defunct and dead to the Pac-12 as the Pac-12 itself
right.
is. And, but in trying to kind of pull himself away from CJ, I figure, like, he's also pretty upset at the end of that. You know, he knows he did some stupid stuff in the second half. He also just got physically bludgeoned, and he's probably just wants to get the hell out of there. I don't expect a guy to sit there and be like, oh, tell me, oh wise one, exactly. As I'm going to go in and field questions about how come you're not as good as CJ, I don't feel like hearing this advice right now.
Here's what I would compare it to in real life. This is what I would compare. You know what? Let's replay it one more time. Now that people hadn't seen it, know what the glitch the internet had with this. And you can kind of hear in the middle of the audio where CJ says, hey, come here. Because Caleb had started to walk away from him. The part that you can't really hear great in the beginning is CJ telling him to stop taking all those hits that Seth was just talking about. So you hear that, then CJ says, hey, come here. And then he gives him some encouragement. So here, we'll play the audio one more time.
Good job out there, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, keep going. Stop taking those hits. Come here. Learn from those mistakes. And everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yep.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
So two things here. One, CJ's a much nicer human than I am. I would have let Caleb die on the vine. Like, I'm one of 32 quarterbacks. I ain't giving advice to the other 31. That's number one. Number two, I think the real-life equivalent of where Caleb Williams was, Seth, because my guess is Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud are friendly. I don't know if they're friends, but my guess is they're friendly.
They
spend time around each other, I'm guessing, because Caleb went to USC, CJ's from California, so they're clearly friendly. I think the situation Caleb was in was when you get a phone call from somebody who's a friend of yours, but they catch you on a day where, like, I just don't feel like talking to people, man. You know, and you're forced to pick up the phone. You know, normally, Caleb was not in a situation where he could hit do not disturb on CJ. CJ was not going to let him hit do not disturb. So, Caleb, sorry, it's your friend CJ, and the rules are you have to take this call. Yeah.
They've known each other since middle school. Stroud is about a month and a half older than Caleb Williams.
They're about the same age, yeah.
They've known each other since middle school. CJ had said at some point, they got close after they'd graduated high school, so in the last few years, like, they know each other.
Yeah.
But it is... I mean, that dynamic is pretty stark right now. The difference between game two of CJ Stroud's rookie year, where it was a loss, but Stroud did some really good things in that loss in NRG Stadium.
And then went on to win the next two games by over 20 points apiece.
Yeah.
Caleb ain't there yet.
Where Caleb Williams just went out and just had a really rough second half. Even in a game where CJ and the offense didn't do very well in the second half of that game either. Yeah. they're clearly just at different stages in their development right now and on different teams. But that, I thought, I mean, CJ just flat out coming out and just saying, you know, shake off those mistakes. That was, if I'm Caleb Williams, there's probably a part where you're just still trying to process the loss. And CJ's being a good bro to him and everything, but also, like, if you could, you can interpret that if you're Caleb Williams, is like, yeah, okay, all right, man. I felt like the offensive line was a little to blame.
maybe CJ's a next level troller. Maybe, just, you know?
Hey, listen, a lot of people are going to be telling you that was the O-line's fault. Don't listen. It's you.
That would be great. And that would be great if he started listening. He'd be like, hey, man, just shake off those mistakes. Like the sack you took on third down on the last drive, like shake that off. The pick you threw to Lassiter, actually both of them, one got called back. Shake that. The one you threw to Stingley, you should shake that one off too. Like he's just listing all the mistakes.
Hey, shake off the fact that you really, I mean, legitimately threw three sacks. I know you're not smart enough to think that, oh, I knew that Henry Toa Toa was going to get called for defensive holding. And that you actually made three really bad decisions in that game.
Yes. Caleb Williams, there's a text message. You can text the show, 713-572-4610, on a Wednesday morning here at Payne and Pendergast. Caleb wasn't dismissing Stroud. He was just concussed, and he didn't know where he was.
There's a good chance.
Might have been. So you've seen the video, obviously. Did you read it the same way the internet did? Did you think Caleb was
disrespectful? I knew exactly where they were going to go with that. Yeah. And I think that it's tough because whenever people start criticizing a quarterback's personality as a prospect, you don't know how much of it is unfair and how much of it might be accurate and true. I would say just from watching Hard Knocks and all these various other things, it doesn't strike me that Caleb has the same inner drive and perhaps the same humility as CJ Stroud. Yeah. I mean, there's a certain amount of humility, like a blend of humility and confidence that great athletes, leaders, everything have. To where they're always trying to prove something, even though they might be eminently confident. There's something in them. There's some kind of little something where they got a drive to prove themselves. And I don't know if Caleb's that guy.
I don't either.
I don't know if Caleb's that guy that's going to just. At one point last year in the season, you could see that CJ, I think, was probably putting way too much pressure on himself. He talked about it later on, but you could read it in his body language. You could see he was kind of tired, and I think the weight of the world was coming down on him. And at the very least, I guess, I don't think Bears people have to worry about that. Caleb will probably the cherry on top would have been if Caleb had then given CJ Stroud advice about his social media strategies.
Or his fingernails.
Like, hey, yeah, by the way, listen, there's some new transitions you can use that on your shorts that can really pop, man.
And if
I've been noticing that.
And if he actually pulled his phone out from, like, the back of his pants to show CJ, like, that he carries his phone around with him, like, check it, bro. Look at these filters.
Yeah. If I'm a Bears fan, what I'm saying is, like, look, you're glad that your quarterback is upset in that moment.
Yeah.
I would say, honestly, if I were a Bears fan, I'd be more upset if Caleb just sat out there and, you know, was engaged and then they was smiling and happening, high-fiving. I'd rather have him look PO'd and just wanting to get off the field.
That's a good question, you know, because you pointed out appropriately that after week two, even though they were 0-2 last year, after 2 weeks of CJ, I was like, okay, we got the guy, you know, like for sure. Like I remember saying after that Colts game, I've brought this up multiple times. Whenever we bring up that Colts game, I remember saying to Clint before the postgame show, I'm like, all right, the one thing we know, CJ's not the problem. Like CJ, and I know it was garbage time, double-digit deficit, but you could see things in that game. Hell, you've pointed it out before, Seth. The Jacksonville Jaguars themselves, the opponent the next week, said, we saw things in those first 2 weeks of the season to tell us that this guy is a dude. I don't...
Not even the on-camera nice quotes or whatever, just what the Jaguars coaches were saying amongst other
about CJ Stroud
people.
Yeah, last year. Like, I don't know who the Bears play this week. I don't know that the Bears' opposition's coaches are saying the same thing about Caleb Williams 2 weeks
right.
in.
I mean, yeah, it's tough, too, because, you know, at this point last year, it's not like Tank Dell and Nico Collins were looked at as, like, these huge assets that a young quarterback has.
Yeah.
So that he wasn't getting the – nobody was saying, like, yeah, but he's got Nico, or yeah, but he's got Tank Dell. I think right now it's fair to say, all right, Keenan Allen isn't 100%. Obviously in that game, or even present in that game. Roma Dunze might not be 100%. Andy's a rookie. We saw Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams not being on the same page in that game. So that there's things working against him, but he has yet to show any kind of a flash the way CJ Stroud.
Well, and his marquee receiver is DJ Moore, and I'm just reading body language, but by the end of that game, DJ Moore did not look like he was in a good place. Right?
Yeah.
You know? Like it looked like there was a lot of similar frustration with DJ Moore that there was with Bryce Young's wide receivers in Carolina. Like Adam Thielen and Deontay Johnson.
I think there's a really good chance Bobby Sloak is getting a job offer from the Bears through the grapevine by midway through this season.
Oh, for sure.
Not an actual offer or anything, obviously, probes. I think feelers will have been put out.
If Clint Kubiak doesn't get one first.
Right. Yeah, Clint Kubiak and Bobby Sloak are right now. Those are the two guys in my mind that are probably getting the most buzz about things. And this is before, you know, CJ hasn't really had a great game yet.
No.
And that's not a slight against him. It's just I think that he's faced, at least in week two especially, that Bears defense is a genuinely good defense.
Yeah.
Now, with a rookie quarterback playing that way, and if his receivers are banged up, that Bears defense statistically might not look awesome at the end of the year because there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, but that's a very good defense.
And yet, look around the league, Seth, and CJ with two, what for him are maybe B-level games, B-plus at times, B-minus at times. CJ is one of the top five quarterbacks through the first two games because passing around the league overall two games in has been horrid compared to previous years.
I think that game, when I look around for objective or more objective people outside the city of Houston and myself, I think the thing that keeps coming up when I read and hear other people is the Texans in that game showed that they can take some punches to the chin because they've got multiple different ways to beat you.
Yes.
And that is the exciting thing, whether it's offensively, defensively, special teams, whatever it might be. You've got different ways to rebound from, you know, for instance, perhaps a banged-up Joe Mixon, hopefully, this week.
Ocho pointing out Bears have the Colts this weekend. Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right, so we're rooting for the Bears. We're hoping for a little Caleb Williams comeback this weekend.
I hope that pep talk does Caleb Williams good.
Yes, yes. Go beat the Colts. That's what CJ should have said. All right, let's get to headlines. A wild Astros game last night. If you went to bed because it's a West Coast game, I get it. But, man, we're going to do our best to recap what was one long acid trip in San Diego last night. Texans make a couple signings, including a familiar face, and a big name goes to IR in the NFL. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Here we go. 1-2 pitch. Towards the middle. Knocked down by Kessinger. Ball game over.
What a play!
Kessinger hadn't played since mid-July, and he knocks one down and makes an incredible play to win a game. Profar yelling at the umpires. He told them he wasn't hit by that pitch. This is one of the craziest endings you'll ever see.
Unbelievable. Bases loaded. A guy who just came up made an unbelievable play. Greg Kessinger with the backhand and the flip. And the Astros with every right to complain have actually won this game against this umpiring crew and this great team in the San Diego Padres.
As soon as Profar was retired, he got up and started screaming at the umpires that he wasn't hit by a pitch. I've never seen anything like
both
that.
Both teams very unhappy with how this game was officiated.
Okay, so there's too much to unpack in headlines almost with that right there. If you're wondering, okay, guys, I'm just getting in my car. So the Astros won, but they're mad at the umps. But so is Profar, who's not an Astro. What the hell is going on? Okay, this is what you need to know. It's what you need to know. One, it was a very poorly official. Oh, by the way, you're probably wondering, why is Greg Kessinger in at second base knocking down a ball to end the game? Why is Jose Altuve not in the game? So we're going to try to get this all answered for you. The Astros win 4-3. The Mariners lose. That's the big thing here, is that the Astros pick up another game. But the reason everybody's so angry, and the reason Altuve was not in the game, is because in the ninth inning, with a runner in scoring position, Altuve fouled a ball off his foot into fair territory that they called an out. You know, the Padres scooped up the ball, threw it to first, and Altuve standing in the batter's box on the ball hit my foot, and it clearly hit his foot. And Altuve took off his shoe and his sock to show that it hit his foot. And the umps are like, you're done. They ejected him. They ejected Espada. So that's how Greg Kessinger winds up in the game. This is after several other calls for both teams that went sideways all game. We can't get into all of them.
Manny Machado. I was actually siding up for Manny Machado, a guy that I despise.
Yeah,
it was that bad.
That's how bad it was. So then in the 10th inning, Profar of the Padres gets called. They call that he got hit by a pitch. First base was open. He's like, no, I did not. I want a hit. And even the Astros are like, and we want a pitch to him. Like, both teams did not want the hit by pitch.
The ball missed him by about 3 inches.
And they reviewed it.
Yeah.
And they reviewed it. And the call stood, and it was crazy, and everybody was angry. And so, ultimately, the bases were loaded in the bottom of the 10th. The play that you heard there ended the game. And the Astros are mad at the umps. They confronted the umps down in the tunnel, reportedly. Profar of the Padres was mad at the umps. Everybody, it really was. It was a wild game last night.
Man, honestly, it was unbelievable. Just a turn of event after turn of event that involved the umpires. And it looked like you couldn't even come up with a conspiracy theory about it, because it looked like it was either benefiting or hurting both sides. Yeah. It was just a magnificent display of everything about how baseball can't get out of its own way.
Yeah.
I mean, just the replay. Baseball, it's the sport. Other than tennis, it's the sport which replay should be the easiest and simplest about. You know, you got a small ball with hard lines and surfaces and everything else, like, and they can't even get that right. Oh my gosh.
So here
Altuve, I love that Altuve just has had multiple ejections.
Yeah, no, saucy Altuve.
Good for you, Altuve.
Saucy Altuve is good. Yes.
Somebody needs to save this game.
So the bottom of the 10th, what happened was they had the runner on second, got to third on a wild pitch by Hector Neris. So you got nobody out, runner on third. Diaz walks, so you got first and third, nobody out. Arise grounds into a fielder's choice, so you got first and third, one out. Fernando Tatis strikes out swinging. You got first and third, two outs. That's when Profar got hit by the pitch. So you got first and third, two outs. And Profar's like, I don't want to load the bases. I want to swing the bat here. I want to bring home the winning run. So second base was actually what was open, but that loaded the bases. And then Manny Machado grounds into the fielder's choice to end the game right there. Credit Hector Neris, man. Like, in all this umpire talk, like, Neris comes in the bottom of the 10th and dances with the devil a little bit and gets out of the jam. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a great game.
Yeah, if you stayed up, you got your money's worth for sure.
It was almost made even better. It's easy to say this when the Astros win, that you have all of this weirdness going on, and that you lose Altuve, and that you scrap your way still into winning this game. I mean, at the one point, man, Yordan took out that relief pitcher at home instead of, which I know you probably were happy about, because instead of sliding,
I don't know, man. They could bump knee to knee doing that. Like, I don't like Yordan touching any other human beings in any shape, form, or fashion. Like, it's not like
he grew up playing American football or anything in Cuba.
Right,
yeah,
right.
You don't get the sense that he really has an understanding of how to actually hit somebody or something.
Yeah, the only thing that satisfies me is Yordan going into a base uncontested by anything. That's it. Like, I just don't need him near any other human beings.
You want Yordan, in your heart of hearts, you want Yordan to do nothing but either hit home runs and strike out. You'd be A-okay with that, right?
Right, I'd be A-okay with that. Or, you know, like, just when he gets a hit, I'm totally cool with him just strolling to first base. Even if it's in the gap, just strolling, you know, just taking a leisurely
job. He's got to navigate three other bases in that situation,
true.
Potentially.
No, you're right.
Know?
Yeah, you're right. No, home runs and strikeouts. That's it. That's all I want. I want Yordan's basically playing an arcade game in my mind.
You want his batting average to match his slugging to match everything? Yeah.
Identical slash lines across. Hey, we got other stuff we got to get to here in headlines, so let's get to the Texans real quickly. They bring Scott Quesenberry back onto the practice squad. He was their starting center back in 2022. Juice Scruggs, it sounds like, is going to be okay for this weekend from the reports that I saw. But Quesenberry on the practice squad. Irv Smith Jr., who is a recent, fairly recent high draft pick of the Minnesota Vikings last few years, Tight end, very talented out of Alabama. It hasn't really translated at the NFL level. They traded for TJ Hockenson for a reason in Minnesota, but they signed him to the practice squad as well. Alabama guy, so that makes sense. So those are the Texans' moves from yesterday. Yesterday was a day off for everybody. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud this afternoon. They're back at practice. Injury report should be very interesting today, Seth, and see what Joe Mixon is looking like here on Wednesday after the ankle, right?
Yeah. I hope with Joe Mixon, you always have to remember that no matter how ugly an ankle injury looks, it seems to be the injury that's most often a huge gap between it looks like somebody snapped their ankle in two, and then it turns out that they're actually just fine.
Yeah.
You see it in basketball all the time. You're like, oh my God, that guy might never play again. Oh, he's back out there in the
back
next possession.
The next TV timeout. He's back in. So
you just never know exactly how a guy's ankle is faring. You know, the worst would be is if Joe Mixon were already on the IR or something. So I'm crossing my fingers and optimistic that he'll be okay.
I hope so. And Damian Pierce, we'll keep an eye on that too. He missed the game with a hamstring injury. So we'll see. Maybe some running back depth issues heading into Minnesota. We'll find out more later on today. Tua Tagovailoa goes to IR with concussion issues, so he'll miss at least four games. Miami signs Tyler Huntley off of Cleveland's practice squad, or Baltimore. I forget what team Huntley was on, but they signed him off of somebody's practice squad. So Tyler Huntley is now Skylar Thompson's backup, the worst words you can hear if you're a Dolphin fan. DeForest Buckner goes to IR for the Colts. That's a significant development inside the division. I would say the Colts' best defensive player going to IR with, I believe he tweaked an ankle on Sunday in the Colts' loss to the Packers. It's a good thing. It's a good thing though for the Colts that Chris Ballard is such a genius of a GM. You don't have to.
We're the best rusher in the draft.
Yeah, you don't have to worry. I mean, he's just out there. He got the best defensive player in the draft.
He got the best pass rusher in the draft who hasn't really done much. I mean, the highlight so far has been the one time he really. I mean, he just he had a really nice rep versus Laremy Tunsil, but that's his highlight reel for the year.
Yeah, it didn't result in anything. It was just a nice rep.
No.
All right, so there you go. Those are your headlines on a Wednesday. Our baseball talk earlier this segment is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Is this the marquee matchup of the weekend? We know that the league is very high on the Texans. How high are they on the Minnesota Vikings right now? And the Vikings and the Texans, they are top two in the league in one particular category that should make Sunday's game pretty wild. We will get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. Stay there.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.